As Bat Month took a turn, this week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we learned that, not unlike everybody poops, everyone has a crotch bulge. We watched Batman Forever. How old is Robin again? We're here to talk about Batman Forever. What do you remember about this classic of filmmaking?
Well, obviously this was a wonderful, wonderful film when you're 11. And you were there. We enjoyed a nice birthday party going to the drive-in theater somewhere outside Atlanta and seeing Batman Forever, which was a wonderful experience. But I remember a few things. I remember Jim Carrey and his great line, "Caffeine will kill you," after hitting a guy with a coffee pot. I remember the soundtrack, Seal, U2, other bands that when I was 10, 11 years old, I didn't realize how amazing they were. Like, I think the Flaming Lips is on there, and like Sunny Day Real Estate. I don't even know. It's crazy. It's a crazy soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think even at the time, I remembered, like, this is a little more neon than I'm used to. This is a little more cartoony than I remember. And where's Michael Keaton?
Mm-hmm.
So the Joel Schumacher era, that he didn't go too overboard in this one, but I remember it being distinctly different than the Tim Burton movies.
Absolutely. And I think it's important also to mention that after two, you know, spaced out but very successful Tim Burton movies, this is a complete change. This is a different style soundtrack. This is a different director. Batman has changed. In fact, I think the entire cast changed except for Michael Goh, who is Alfred.
Oh, yeah. He's in all four of them.
And it's also weird because I think they're relating to a different audience. I can't remember off the top of my head what Batman and Batman Returns is rated, but if you could convince me it was rated R. They're very dark. They're very gritty. This is much more aimed at kids. And Chris O'Donnell, who is Robin, who looks the same age as Batman most of the movie, is supposed to be, you know, kid. And it's supposed to look so rebellious with an earring, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Chris O'Donnell. I mean, he was pretty hot back then. Coming off of movie A that he did, also movie B.
Yeah.
Could not. Oh, Son of a Woman. There you go.
Oh.
He was in that and Toy Soldiers,
Pacino,
I think. And,
yeah.
That movie about the Nazis in the school. What was that movie? Has like Matt Damon in it. Moving on.
Sound of Music.
Nope.
But no, yeah, absolutely. And it's also, you mentioned Jim Carrey. We have not mentioned Two-Face yet.
I don't remember anything about Two-Face's role in this movie except that he's in it, and that he and I remember the trailer pretty well. So I remember like they're at some party and Batman like crashes through the ceiling and Jim Carrey's all like, "Your entrance was good. His was better," and Two-Face is like, "Oh, burn."
Yeah, no, it's... But that's what I remember. I remember Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey all over this movie.
Yeah.
And having three jokes when one would have sufficed. And Tommy Lee Jones being old and seemingly confused about everything that was happening around him.
Well, he had two minds, so it's pretty confusing.
As I recall,
schizophrenic. Yeah.
As I recall, one of his two girlfriends was played by Drew Barrymore.
Yep. She, I don't know if she has any lines in the movie. But I don't remember who his other half's girlfriend was, though.
Frankly, it might be someone who did nothing else. But I think the only line she has... No, that's not true, because at that party you mentioned, I think she's the one who seduces Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
But we're almost out of time for this section. Are there anything you want us to look for, anything you're excited about? I do remember that party, sitting in the back of a minivan, watching and listening to Seal sing.
Oh, yeah, the Previa.
Or the Previa.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm interested mainly to see how campy Joel Schumacher really took this one, because I don't remember it being that bad. You know, it's pretty noticeable, but I don't remember it being that bad. It's no Batman and Robin train wreck, but I'm kind of curious about Val Kilmer, because we've gone this whole time and not mentioned Val Kilmer plays Batman. I mean, we mentioned the new Batman, but he's not... This is when the series takes over, when, like, Batman's not the main character anymore.
Well, I mean, let's back up.
Wait, that's not true. Every one of them does that.
Yeah. Batman and Batman Returns, and we talked about it a lot when we talked about Batman Returns. There's almost no Batman in that movie.
Yeah, Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, this just continues the trend of piling on villains, and Batman's just in the movie.
Although I do remember, I think, that Bruce Wayne is more of a character in this one, because Bruce Wayne just shows up as Bruce Wayne to things.
Yeah, well, that happens. Well, he's got the whole Robin thing to deal with, so I guess that's a lot of, like, you know, fatherly time with him. But I don't know. Like, I think I'm going to enjoy the soundtrack again. I think that'll be fun. And the general campiness of it, and hoping Jim Carrey is still kind of funny, but...
that is faith right there. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go watch Batman Forever.
Forever.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. I'm Nick Hoffman, and tonight we watched Batman Forever, Jim Carrey's loving tribute to Ziggy Stardust. God, it was much more spandex than I remembered. I'm Nick Hoffman, editor-in-chief of Dude Letter. Tonight we were defended by...
Scott.
And on panel tonight we have...
Matthew W. Quinn.
Aaron.
This is Daniel.
So, Scott... Was this movie everything you hoped it was?
Well, it's pretty freaking terrible.
It was a movie. It was, in fact, shot on film and then projected inside of a theater booth, was it not?
That's arguable.
Okay.
To be fair, and I know we haven't done it yet, but I've seen it recently, Batman and Robin's 30 times worse than this.
Yeah.
But... Every other Batman, including Dark Knight Rises, which is a terrible movie, is still better than this. It's so much more campy and over the top and nonsensical than I remembered. And it has none of the songs. There's none of the songs.
Mm. Yeah.
They're all in the end titles. Like, yep. There's nothing there.
Other than the Flaming Lips song, which is played almost in its entirety, about 30 minutes in, 40 minutes
that's
in.
True.
Oh,
that's
was
true.
That was the Flaming Lips song.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one where
Bad Days.
Bad Days.
Oh, okay.
So when Riddler's trying to figure out who Riddler is.
I just heard that the Flaming Lips are on the soundtrack, and I'm like, why? Really?
No, it's a very eclectic album, because it's like, we need a pop song, we need a... an R&B song, we need kind of an indie song, and they all piled together to make whatever that was. Before we get too far into this, Daniel, would you like to try to figure out what this was?
Jim Carrey wore disturbingly tight spandex. Okay. So, Batman is being Batman, and he's fighting somebody who claims to be Two-Face, but is clearly not Two-Face, because that's not how Two-Face is supposed to act, and Two-Face is not the Joker, and...
Ooh.
Okay. So anyway, Two-Face goes, and at one point in time they're in a circus, and Two-Face shoots up the Flying Graysons, leaving their youngest son, the young, nubile, 30-year-old Dick Grayson alive. The young, innocent of the world, Dick Grayson. And at the same time, one of Bruce Wayne's employees at Wayne Enterprises, named Edward Nygma... supposedly the Riddler, but Edward Nygma never worked at Wayne Enterprises. Okay. Is trying to create this new brainwave box that can read people's minds for whatever reason. So eventually the Riddler and Two-Face team up while Dick Grayson assumes the mantle of Robin and fights with Batman to take them down. And that's about all I got.
And take all of us down.
Nicole Kidman also makes an appearance in this movie.
Does she?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well,
she does, doesn't she?
Or her cardboard cutout does. And this is a deadweight movie.
It occurred to me somewhere halfway through that Nicole Kidman is a talented actress. I am not a fan of her, but I can respect her. But I can starting to. put it together why I probably never liked her. I'm like, I've seen this movie a bunch. I remember it when I was young. It's like, oh, Nicole Kidman's in a Oscar movie? That's weird. Wasn't she that terrible actress in Batman Forever? Yes, yes, she was.
I didn't mind her as an actress. I just didn't like the character. She was annoying.
She was useless. I mean,
she was dead weight. And
they were trying to introduce her to be a, to analyze Bruce Wayne and Batman and that whole dynamic. So it was for an interesting reason, but they failed at it spectacularly. It was, wow.
Yeah, and what's worse is that she's supposed to be kind of the connection that finally connects Bruce Wayne to Batman in this very kind of stupid narration way. Mm-hmm. When it works so well at the end of Batman Returns, where he literally tears his mask off and says, guess what, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And it takes so much. This movie takes forever to get anywhere.
Well, that's where the title comes from, right?
That is a good point. Why is it called Batman Forever?
Because it's 2 hours long, and it takes forever to get to 2 hours. That's exactly what it is.
We did a lot of clock checking throughout this movie.
It was like an Andy Warhol movie, where they just shoot, like, someone sleeping for 8 hours.
And I mean, okay, so Scott mentioned we did a lot of clock checking. It took them, what was it? It was 45 minutes to get to the Flying Graysons, and then another 10 minutes after that to get to Riddler as Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
It's outrageous. This movie went nowhere slowly.
Definitely hits a wall. Like, around that time, maybe an hour in, it just hits this giant wall. Right?
Well, you
no
would assume that the,
anymore.
You would assume that the Batmobile could have climbed up that wall, as we saw.
God.
Was I really entertained by the, like, the car chases and the shootouts and stuff? Like, I was like watching them, like, I'm so bored by these action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Am I just so over them? But
wait, it didn't take the story anywhere.
Right.
It was, all of it was filler, and there was a lot of filler.
Yeah. Well, and you know, they say that these action movies have third act problems because it needs to resolve itself. This movie has a very strong first act because the first 45 minutes doesn't make sense, but it moves. You know, there's action to action to comedy to action. But then the second act, nothing happens. And it's all Chase Meridian trying to talk to both men at once, both Batman and Bruce Wayne, and hitting on both of them and rejecting both of them for each other, which makes no sense.
Yeah, a love triangle with two people, one of whom has who is two people.
Girl got problems.
Girl got problems. Oh, man. And then at the end, we have nothing. Nothing happens. Nothing happens.
Even when the characters are introduced, it was so bad. I mean, the first line in the movie was that I'll get drive-through line, which made me want to club a baby seal.
I thought that was funny.
Well, you're wrong, sir. You are wrong.
Oh, no, you're wrong.
Okay.
You guys already heard the Spawn episode. Let's talk about what
No, actually, right. I just realized Chase Meridian does one useful thing. She brought up that the coin is Two-Face's weakness, and so that's why Batman has the coins he throws.
But that was already fairly obvious.
And if I may quote Batman, I knew that. Why waste my time with this?
The bat signal is not, in fact, a beeper. Well, I mean, what was her first line, remember? I mean, they were trying to build her up as the strong female character. This movie,
her first line might have been like,
hot entrance, hot entrance.
Yeah, hot entrance.
I mean, it wasn't just heavy breathing.
No. And if I may,
no, that was Jim Carrey's entrance, was heavy breathing.
Oh, so there's some chemistry between him and Batman. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And if I may, she shows up in the first scene. They introduce her right away, and she shows up in a silk robe and a nightie in the first scene of the movie for no reason. It's not late.
No.
Even Pat Engel is wearing clothes, and we do see him later in his PJs answer the bat signal.
Well, it's after five. I mean, what is she, a peasant?
Why was she even at the bank robbery? Well, it opens with a bank robbery, and Two-Face is like, kidnapped some security guard and trapped him in a bank vault filled with boiling acid.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Why was she there?
I figured she was supposed to be like expert they bring in when there's some kind of hostage situation or problem.
Well, that's why you dress as sexy as possible to get the hostage.
Because you never know when Batman will show up.
Mm-hmm.
She was there to, she was there to help analyze Two-Face so they could do something about it.
Does she work
do all? Nothing. No, that's the exact problem. She does nothing to this plot.
Well, I don't think Two-Face does anything to the plot either.
That wasn't Two-Face.
He's a villain in the first act. And then in the second and third act, it's Riddler the whole time.
But what is he doing? Like, he's robbing banks, but for what? He has no trajectory.
He's robbing banks to give Riddler the money to then...
Not no, that's the end of the second act. That's not
so
the first act.
He's just doing stuff.
At one point, they try to make it, like, to draw Batman out.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense either, because he has no end game.
That's what the circuit... Well, his whole plan is to kill Batman, but I don't know why everyone else is like, yeah, that sounds good. Wait, or like, we gonna make money, or like, what are we gonna do after that? No, henchmen, don't ask questions. Take your neon machine guns.
He also has a tragic lack of henchmen at certain points, and a plethora of... Because, like, at the end scene, there are no henchmen.
Well, you know, it takes a little while to get new ones after they all get killed in each
partially
wave.
By him.
Yeah.
Partially
he does kill a lot of his own henchmen.
He kills a lot of his own henchmen.
Batman does, you know, help kill a lot of people in this movie. Yeah.
Additionally, there's a Statue of Liberty in Gotham that a helicopter flies into, and it turns out to be at about 3 feet of water, because Batman walks away from that one after landing in the water.
Well, it's like the statue in France or whatever, where it's not that big.
Right, exactly. It is. It's barely person-sized.
Gotham bought that one and destroyed
it. I like to think that there's a continuity between, like, Ghostbusters and this, and so they put the Statue of Liberty back somewhere else because they couldn't get it back to the island, so it's in the middle.
She wouldn't go back.
It's in, like, the middle of, like, a corporate pond, like a little big statue pond in front of a corporate square.
Fine. Good enough.
So it's like Disney World?
Yes, exactly. That's what
the
it is.
The Epcot Center, you know, something else to put in it.
Exactly. So there's about 5 different gangs in here. All of them are illuminated by neon lights, including Tommy guns with neon lights in them for Tommy Lee Jones's gang.
And all of his henchmen wear spandex for no reason. There was a lot of spandex.
And they wear Bane-like Nutra Libre masks. I don't know if you noticed that the whole time.
Yeah, with the split colors so that you know who they're backing.
And then the Raver gang, which was only in one scene.
Oh, the Blacklight gang was awesome.
The Juggalos. I love them. Yeah.
Where Chris O'Donnell shows up in the Batmobile, but no one seems to question, like, hey, you're clearly not Batman, so did you steal the Batmobile? Which should have gotten him immediate street cred.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They should have been like, this is the greatest man in the city. But instead they're like, no, let's try to kill him. He's got the Batmobile. Wait, no, he stole the Batmobile, dude.
Well, and B, in Batman Returns, again, this is not learning anything between movies, because in Batman Returns, the Penguin hacks the Batmobile, puts a remote control in it.
Well, even in this one, when Dick Grayson steals the Batmobile, Alfred is standing right there. What does he do?
They abuse the old man a lot in this movie. Tommy Lee Jones takes a bat to the back of his head. Mm. Or is it Riddler?
Riddler. He's using his staff.
Yeah.
I want a staff like that with a question mark.
I know you just want his Ziggy Stardust outfit. I know that's what you want.
Everyone had great cod pieces in it. There was a lot of good crotch shots. One good butt shot. It's awesome. It was a good kind of close-in. And you know that was the day Joel Schumacher came in. We've got to get this butt shot in. Slow pan. Nope, we didn't get it. Do it again.
The female
86
gaze.
Tanks. Oh, we got it after 5. This is all just for my personal collection.
There you go. Little Joel Schumacher action. Mm. It's a weird movie because there's no purpose to any of it. And I will give it credit. This Batman movie had Batman in it. Batman Returns had no Batman.
I will say that's the one saving grace of this movie is Val Kilmer actually makes a pretty good Bruce Wayne and a pretty good Batman.
He does, and his Batman voice is the best Batman voice, as opposed to the Chris Nolan movies, which is down near here. It's just not at all sexy or scary.
Is that how he hopes people don't recognize him, because the lower half of his face is visible?
Yeah.
So he talks like this all the time.
Pretty much.
He needs a lozenge. God, I don't even know what to talk about this movie.
I don't
it's
either.
Such a disaster.
Before we came on mic, I was like, this is going to be a short and sweet destruction, because there's nothing we can really talk about.
Well, I enjoyed the first half of it, and then the second half, it got slow.
Well, so let's talk about this. Sure. If anything, I mean, Batman is a character, but he's a non-character, right? But that's what Batman movies are. It's a case study of the villain. So let's talk about Riddler. Jim Carrey.
That wasn't the Riddler. That was the Mad Hatter.
You can shove that right up your ass.
None of that stuff matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of the comics matter. This is the movie.
And the quest for knowledge is totally the Riddler's ballgame anyway, even if he's not robbing people's brainwaves. But Jim Carrey here got paid more than any actor for any movie not adjusted for inflation.
Like, really?
Yes. With this scene. Like, this is him at the top.
They pay Schwarzenegger in jets and things, so I don't know if you can compare the two.
And steroids. Got to keep that body up.
And Jack Nicholson got percentage of the first Batman, so he probably got...
He ended up getting more, I think.
He's probably swimming in a big pool of money somewhere.
Oh, they should make a Jack Nicholson DuckTales movie.
Lasers, race cars, airplanes.
Well, this was... I mean, we kind of were talking about Jim Carrey. Like, this was kind of a big deal that Jim Carrey was in this.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he had just done Ace Ventura and The Mask and Dumb and Dumber. Like, and everyone was like, holy crap, who is this guy? And why are his movies making a gazillion dollars? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, he's in the next Batman movie. That's huge. This Batman movie is going to be amazing. It's got Jim Carrey. It's got Batman. It's got butts.
It's got codpieces.
Something for everyone.
Well, and it's got a great kind of scene around him, because if it was just his story and you take Tommy Lee Jones out of it, you go from him being the kind of peon employee at Bruce Wayne, right, Enterprises, and then having a great plan, nearly winning, being defeated. It's a normal villain's arc, and he ends up in Arkham Asylum with the best closing line of almost anywhere. I am Batman. Like, that's fun. He even makes fun of the voice.
There was one good moment that really could have made the character when they introduce him. It's right after Bruce Wayne leaves and he says something like, you were supposed to understand. I'll make you understand. Which, I mean, that's what the Riddler is kind of about. He needs to be the smartest and the best. And that's the one moment where we see that. But then after that, it just turns into, I don't know. I liked him as a kid, but this turns into a campy mess.
Well, when he's in the gala revealing his invention, he's pretty blatantly trying to show off his superiority to Bruce Wayne.
He's trying to dress like Bruce Wayne.
He's like, I'm better than you and outdoing you, blah, blah, blah. And Bruce is like, well, congratulations. Good job. Bruce is a really good sport, and he's a petty tool.
He is, and it shows, and it makes it all the more awkward. I mean, we've got to also look at this as in context, because we said this was a year where Jim Carrey is huge at the height of his power. He's competing against things like Face Off with this movie. That's the same year.
Face Off? I thought that was...
I thought it was, right? This is
95,
wasn't it?
It was released. It was a summer release.
Oh, yeah.
But what are you talking about? What is Face Off?
I'm talking about this is him being John Travolta. This is him being Nick Cage. This is him as an action hero.
Oh, I see what you
mean. In this world.
Okay.
And he is making more money than that.
This is a couple years before those.
Does a Riddler actually...
I think The Rock came out.
Does a Riddler actually fight in this one, or does he just cackle a lot?
He hits Alfred in the face.
He does. He takes down an old man, and then Harvey teaches him how to punch.
But that hurts his hand.
Yeah, because Tommy Lee Jones mixes it up with everybody, and Riddler just like...
Well, Two-Face is the muscle, Riddler's the brain.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Well, I, for one, am glad Ace Ventura decided to show up all throughout this movie.
Yeah. Okay, we gotta talk about
that. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. This is before people realized, that Jim Carrey guy can actually act.
Yeah.
That's like 2 years before they realized that. Like, it's not long before The Truman Show and stuff, but they're like, no, we need Ace Ventura. He's perfect for the Riddler.
Yeah. Put Ace Ventura in some green tights.
Hire Ace Ventura. Sir, you know his name's Jim Carrey, right? No, hire Ace Ventura. I know what I said.
And you know that the script was, and then Jim says something here. He just keeps going. And when he kills, what's his name? Ed Begley Jr.? He gets like 4 or 5 jokes, and we were counting them.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Kahuna missed the landing, got the bronze. You're just like,
The Price is
Right.
Caffeine
will kill you.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry.
I liked Jim Carrey as a Riddler. You know, I have all of these lines written down in my notebook, you know, because they're funny.
So you can slip them in some sort of murder fantasy?
But
if I do that, Nick, you'll be the first to know.
They gave all the crappy puns to Tommy Lee Jones.
Yep.
And you're right. They probably did just be like, you know, okay, we have some jokes for Jim Carrey to say.
Well, I think they tried to give him the Jim Carrey, and he's like, I have more dignity than that. Give it to Tommy Lee Jones.
It's not bad enough. Like, let him ham it up a little bit more. Tommy Lee Jones is just like, just give me the line. I don't know why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
No, and at some point, they stop giving him lines. They're like, just show up. Don't say anything. Look weird. Don't die.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. It's that Tommy Lee Jones could not do the improv humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it falls so flat.
So that, I mean, that's the issue in the next one with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, they were trying to build him up as the Joker. They were trying to turn Two-Face into the Joker and have that same dynamic, and it just didn't work, partly because you already had the Riddler who was doing pretty much the same thing, and partly because that's not Two-Face's character.
Well, he was entertaining to watch, but that's not how he acts at all, how the Harvey Dent character acts.
No, it's not.
Well, and it's the wrong character. If you want to do a campy movie, you need someone... You could do the Joker both ways, but you can't...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't do Two-Face.
No, he's the tragic character. If anything, he's the darkest character in all the Batman series. It's just... And it just plays so badly. And so I guess that leads us to talk about Tommy Lee Jones, who, frankly, is... On one hand, 30 years too old for this role. And then on the other hand, he just... By the end, he's reduced to cackling. He really only laughs at once Jim Carrey shows up, and he should have just shot the... There's no game for him. As Aaron said earlier, it would have been great if at the end, Two-Face shoots the Riddler and then makes it his plan all along and then seizes the power, seizes the money, so there's some point for him to be there. But after they start stealing money for the Riddler... He's got nothing. He doesn't even get a line. I think his last line that I remember is, you ball up a fist, you bring it back, and you just follow through when he's teaching a Riddler how to punch.
Well, he did rob the Riddler's party because he was so sick of it taking so long.
That was after this line, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was way after.
So he said the last line you could remember. I mean,
but I think he told him how to punch after that scene.
No.
Was it before?
It was before.
I don't remember. This movie had no plot progression anyway.
It was before because they were still friends.
Mm. So did we only have two villains in this movie because the previous Batman movie had two and you can't go back to one?
But one was gray area.
Well, originally when Tim Burton wanted to direct it, from what I've heard, he just wanted to use the Riddler, and it was Joel Schumacher's idea to bring Two-Face in.
Joel Schumacher had a bad idea.
He's had several throughout his life.
And the other problem, too, is there's no world building. You know, in the first to the second movie, it's still kind of dark, kind of gritty. People aren't sure who Batman is, but there's not a great job at this. But you should still have Catwoman wandering around. You should have other people who still exist in this world.
Yeah.
No, other than Pat Hingle, like, even the mayor changes. You know, Harvey Dent changes. Michael Goh is the same. He's still Alfred, but no one else is around. Even Batman's character changes. He's a different actor. Obviously you can't address that.
We have Gossip Gertie.
She was so annoying.
And she sits next to them when he screams, I am Batman, and doesn't write that down in her newspaper. I'm sorry, but that's worth
mentioning.
She's
not good.
She's
bad. Yeah.
Although her glasses are fantastic. We got to talk about Two-Face more, though, because he is the biggest mistake in this movie. It's a shame. He starts out by locking them in the most cartoonish plot. Oh, come on. Someone else.
It's a trap.
It is. Oh, it's a trap!
Which was a line in the movie.
My God, it's boiling acid!
We have a security guard who has the thickest glasses and a hearing aid, which Batman then uses to undo a bank safe.
Wayne Knight as the security guard?
He's
skinny.
No, it was not Wayne. I wish it was.
That would have made sense if it was.
Then you could have made a fat joke, too, because this movie was nothing if not short on jokes. It should have. It could have kept adding them on.
He just cut from the bank vault to the chain breaking because he's so fat.
That was it. And that's what it was. And then essentially, Batman cuts the chain. It slides back into position after it fills with acid. The acid doesn't go anywhere. Presumably, it's still in there burning all the
and boiling.
And boiling. It's boiling acid!
Which, can acid boil and how would it boil in a bank vault?
Does it make it worse that it's boiling?
No.
No.
Then, okay.
Maybe it was hot. Maybe it was heated up somehow before they
because everyone knows vinegar smells worse if it's warm. It's true.
Okay.
But it's also, it dissolves metal, except for the metal that it comes out of, into the metal bank vault, which is not metal.
Well, it's pretty thick metal, so maybe it was eating its way through the whole time.
There you go.
But yet they never
bring
it up.
Connecting plots that don't connect. And then Batman takes over the helicopter that is attached to it and crashes it into the Statue of Liberty.
Because he can't undo the club. He can break out of a bank vault.
But he can't take the club off of a steering wheel because the helicopter has enough of a steering wheel that it can attach a club to it.
Yeah.
The Club. I have not seen The Club in years.
I'm just over here sighing off mic. I'm just like, oh.
This movie was exhausting. And we've done bad movies, but this was exhausting.
We haven't even gotten to Robin yet.
I think this was more a disappointment than anything, to me at least. Like,
we wanted this to be a good
movie. We've seen some movies that were like, oh, I know what it's going to be, or it's going to be good for what it is, or it's not going to be good at all. And this one, I think we were kind of like, I'm not sure. Is this going to be as bad as Batman and Robin, or is it just going
to
be...
This was the first Batman movie I saw in theaters as a kid, so I was wanting it to be like, oh, this was awesome when I was 9.
No, I mean, and off the top, Scott and I were talking about how excited we were to watch it. We watched it at a drive-in. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was great. This was a disappointment all around. You know, and we've had parties where we put this on and people watch it and we're just like, Jim Carrey, and he would go, riddle me this, and everyone would be like, you know, you get that moment of joy, but there's that doesn't even hold up solidly in this movie.
They have so much raw material to work with. They have a litany of good actors. They have a really great soundtrack, and I feel like the soundtrack is almost an example of what goes on with the movie, is you have a lot of stuff to work with, and they just throw it all at the end, and it doesn't matter at all. Anyway.
It's pure marketing.
Even if you have good actors, they can still be grossly miscast, like Robin.
Robin. The 30-year-old Robin.
Are we saying he's a good actor?
Chris O'Donnell, I'm sure, is a decent actor. But
I'm sure he's a very decent human being.
Someone else.
High demand at the time.
Well, and let's back up. They put him opposite of Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman, and it was great.
Because who the hell is going to stand up to Al Pacino on screen?
But no, but if you put
sit
him
there
off,
and let him destroy you on screen because he's Al Pacino.
But I bet you the pitch was...
And you're like 18.
The supporting actor is Tommy Lee Jones. Can you put him against Tommy Lee Jones? Will he be good there? Because that's their plot, right? It's him and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
It's really
the problem
him,
is they're not together.
But it's him and Val Kilmer, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a disconnect here. Val Kilmer is not a great actor, but he works in an action movie.
Yeah. He worked fine in this.
Yeah,
he worked
Val
fine
Kilmer
here.
Works fine in the right
psychology
spot.
Psychology that they kept trying to hit on here and completely missing, like the psychology of Dick Grayson when he loses his family. Let's delve into that. And the psychology of, we got way too much backstory on the Bruce Wayne.
Well,
his parents dying.
Because this was,
what is the Red Book?
Considering this is the third movie where we get the same creation story.
I'm sitting there the whole time like, how long do we have to watch this? Well, and that's where the Chase Meridian character comes in, because this is supposed to be a think piece.
Well, I mentioned this in Batman Returns.
Yes. Riddler question mark.
I mentioned this in the Batman Returns, and so long as the movies keep bringing up the same stuff over and over, I guess I'm going to as well. They were trying to build an arc about Batman. Like, in the first one, he's being Batman for personal reasons, but then he gets revenge for his parents, or he thinks so in his mind. And in Batman Returns, he's doing it out of obligation, but he doesn't want to be Batman anymore. He wants to go with Selina Kyle and move in. And the third one's supposed to be about why he still needs to be Batman, just for Gotham and for himself. And that's why Chase Meridian was there. But again, there's just no real connection between those ideas.
I would buy that idea if Robin didn't show up, because then he's also supposed to be like paternal, right, in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up, guess what? He made the same mistake. Now you have Robin who wants to kill people instead.
Well, that still could have worked, because by rehabilitating Robin, he's rehabilitating himself. And I'll mention in the comics, Robin Dick Grayson at least actually grows up to be a fairly well-adjusted person.
But he does hate Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, well,
he does. He becomes Nightwing. Yeah. He hates Bruce Wayne. I don't know. Now, I think this is the opposite. Brace yourself. I'm going to say this is the opposite of The Godfather. And what I mean by that is, in The Godfather, you have every actor at the top of their field, a good script on the top of the field, a good idea on the top of its field, good music on the top of its field. Here, you have all these strong individual points, and it came together and made a disaster.
Because
you have Jim Carrey at the top of his career. You have Chris O'Donnell building up. You have Val Kilmer, who's doing well.
But let's talk about this. We're talking about a Batman movie. Now, go in whatever direction you want. If it's the Chris Nolan, really dark, let's get a bunch of Oscar winners, or Batman and Robin, where it's like, we really don't give a shit, let's just get as much campiness as possible. It's still like, you're getting Jim Carrey, at his height. but it's still Jim Carrey. You're getting Tommy Lee Jones, who doesn't fit either. You're getting Val Kilmer, who's basically a blank slate of an actor.
Sure.
And Chris O'Donnell is just there to wear an earring and be like, you know, an eye candy for the tweeners.
And talk like
tweeners.
A 15-year-old when he's clearly 27.
But it's like a mishmash of things. Yeah. Like, I don't know why Tommy Lee Jones is there, but he just won an Oscar, so maybe it was like, let's get some credibility, because we don't have Michael Keaton, we don't have Jack Nicholson, we don't have Danny DeVito, like, we don't have this, like, actual actor in the movie, because no one's sitting around at the time thinking, Jim Carrey's a real actor. Like, they didn't know that yet. They thought he was a piece of plastic that was really funny.
And Tommy Lee Jones stops acting halfway through this movie.
Oh, yeah. He gives up.
I swear between takes, he was calling his real estate agent saying, okay, the check cleared, put the deposit on the mansion, we're going to make this happen.
And I keep wanting to say Michelle Pfeiffer. It's not. It's Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman is clearly picturing, like, her new kitchen when she's dancing with Jim Carrey in that one scene. Because she could not. She doesn't even make eye contact with him. She's like, money's coming in. The check cleared. But no, you know what? You're right. I realize this now. And the same problem in Batman and Robin, they just said, we have this amount of money. Who will get us the most money for spending this much money?
Yeah.
And so that's why you have a U2 song and a Seal song that doesn't even play till the end. They're like, this will make us money. Like, that's what it is.
Exactly.
And it is obvious, because the Batmobile, which in Tim Burton was phallic and bizarre, at least worked. This one, they added neon lights to it for no reason.
And wings.
And wings that wiggled.
Wings and ribs.
That flapped.
And gills. It's very weird.
It was ribbed for her pleasure in this movie.
There you go. I teed it up. Yeah.
It was awful. It was unnecessary. Oh, speaking of Halloween costumes, the Two-Face and the Riddler in Halloween costumes beat the crap out of an 84-year-old man.
Yep.
And that's something that happens in this movie. Oh, God. Do we even want to talk about Nicole Kidman? Oh, sorry, Matt. What did you want to say?
I was going to comment about something that happened afterwards. Well, that's not really relevant.
What do you want to say about Nicole Kidman?
Well, what about Nicole Kidman is about what happened after they invade the mansion. Val Kilmer at one point surfs down a table full of Halloween pumpkins and nails some guy.
And we have a scene in which the Riddler, talking only to himself, has these little, it's like Green Goblin bats, but they're just bats with question marks and wings that explode when he throws them. And sometimes he needs to be triggered by his question mark cane, which really looks like a kind of papal cane, but with a question mark at the end. And he's skipping along his merry way, and everything he does, they add Foley sound effects to, like it's the Adam West Batman.
They have the baseball organ playing.
Yeah, they do.
That was funny.
I want to get to what Matt's saying here in a second, but first of all, that scene was awful.
Yes, it was.
If we went with the what Matt seemed to enjoy, and what frankly what made us enjoy the movie more than I would say most of it, and just made it silly and campy, it would work. But there's a lot of very grim, dark scenes that stop the movie dead, and that shift back and forth, I think, is the biggest problem. Because if it's just the Riddler being silly, it's one kind of movie that I can live with. But then you have to go into this whole Dick Grayson psychology scene, bad romantic dialogue, where Batman shows up in a woman's bedroom when she's apparently naked in a satin sheet. Like, it's a lot of masturbation fantasy more than it is a movie. It's no good. It's unwatchable.
I agree with you that the shift is jarring, and that's why it destroyed. But to me, I liked those darker brooding scenes because there was actually a point. I mean, the Riddler being silly, the campiness may be fun, but we see in the next one just how badly that goes, and I'm worried if they took it too far in that direction. Well,
I think it's a problem of a producer who wants a gritty movie and a director who wants a campy movie, and in between you end up with this, which is 2 hours, which is frankly a nice little package. Two hours is fine, but it feels like 1 hour of it was a Tim Burton movie, 1 hour of it was a Joel Schumacher movie, and then you end up with a conclusion, which is unwatchable.
Yeah.
With the line, "Holy rusted metal Batman."
Oh, no.
Yeah, he
Which Val Kilmer just goes, "Oh." And that's it.
Yeah, well,
that's
about Robin never had that, "Holy this and that Batman" for the entire movie, and then unless he was saying there were holes in the rusted metal, right? That was the joke.
That was the joke.
It's a Burt Ward line, right? And then he kills Two-Face. He straight up kills Two-Face.
Yep. He's a kill stealer. That was Robin's.
Yes, he was. And Robin looks at him like, "Oh, shucks, I wanted to kill him," which is Robin's last line. After that, we don't see Robin again.
Because that's true. Yeah,
maybe that was the plan. He didn't want Robin to kill him. You know, he should. He's already killed people himself. He should just do it so Robin doesn't.
That's exactly the thing.
That is exactly the thing.
That's what he's been saying the whole time.
Yep.
And so Batman gets to murder people in cold blood, but that's it. And it was even worse.
He had a gun on them, so throwing the coins at them stopped him from shooting them.
That's true, but he should have saved him. He should have grapple hooked him like he did everyone else in this movie, but he just lets him fall, and everyone watches him shocked. But no, Batman lets him fall.
Well, he didn't like Tommy Lee Jones in this role.
That's just so he can't return in a sequel now.
I just made a shocking connection. So in The Dark Knight, Harvey Dent. Okay, spoiler alert. Harvey Dent dies at the end there. Whoa. And they're all like, what are we going to do? People are going to go crazy if they see Harvey Dent's this, turned into this murderer. Well, tell him it was Batman. Batman can handle it. And it's kind of the same thing here. Like, no, Robin. I can kill people and I can deal with it. Including Harvey Dent again. And let me handle that. You just look pretty and fix my motorcycles and pose, you know, let Alfred measure your crotch. And
I've made you a cod piece, Master Grayson. It'll fit perfectly, like a glove.
No, I said shiny.
Nipples.
Yeah. Apparently Alfred is not only his butler, he made the bat suit and the Robin suit.
He's a rubber tailor of some sort.
While they were getting home invaded, by the way. Like, the home invasion happens, everything explodes, and he's like, hey, I got this
one. You know, that's another thing about this movie. The timeline is all screwed up. In some ways, it could only take place for a week, but in other ways, especially with Edward Nygma starting his company, that would take years.
So, yeah, this is at least a year long.
Yeah, there's no point of time.
They don't let you think that. Like, you put it together. Like, Nygma creates a product, creates an entire company, it becomes huge, sells a ton of stock, creates another product, everyone buys it, and that
takes over the world.
It feels like it's been a week, but that had to have been at least a couple of years.
Yeah. As a side note, how great would it be if there was a version of the bat suit with shorts because it was summer?
Yeah. Well, you know Adam West. There's Adam West with a surfboard.
There is Batman, the bat shorts.
Yeah, that's happened.
Shark As a side repellent. Note, that you do make me realize that The Dark Knight is him smacking Joel Schumacher in the face, because it's in this movie it's the Riddler acting like he's Joker opposite of Two-Face, and in The Dark Knight it's the Joker opposite of Two-Face, and you make some most gritty and it really works, and here it does not work at all. Yeah. Which is fantastic.
Have you seen Watchmen, that the movie version of Watchmen? Do you remember Ozymandias' suit? That was meant to be a parody of the Schumacher Batman suit with the nipples and everything.
If you can find it, there's a great version of the animated series. There's an episode where they go to this mall, and it's a bunch of kids talking about what they think Batman is. And one of them is this kind of cheesy kid. He's like, well, I think of Batman as this kind of crazy guy who says pow and paff and punches people and just knocks them out. Mm-hmm. And this one guy who looks like Tim Burton says, no, he's this dark, brooding guy. Mm-hmm. He's very gritty, and he has a troubled past. And then this guy who comes out of a store because his dad is a shoemaker, and he's wearing a pink scarf, and he goes, I think Batman is this guy wearing a codpiece and has a curvy butt. And it's like, and that's what it is.
They say that in the Batman animated series.
In the Batman anime, and it's like an elementary school kid. Yeah.
His name is actually Joel, and they tell him to shut up.
And Joel, shut up. That's not Batman. That's what this is.
He's stroking a feather boa throughout the entire thing. I remember the episode.
It is.
A gay joke in a TV show.
It was all worth it. It was all worth it for that.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
There's I mean, and frankly, other than Tommy Lee Jones's and Riddler's suits, which are spectacular, the costuming in this movie is abysmal. It is. It's only thing Nicole Kidman wears, other than at one point she's wearing a tank top because she's boxing. She's like kickboxing in her room, are 90s. Yeah. Pat Hingle acts and dresses like an old man, except for when he shows up in his pajamas, because even he gets a pajama scene.
You were right, by the way. I said you were wrong, but you're right. He does sound like Droopy.
Oh, boy. I hope Batman saves the day. I'm wearing my pajamas.
Yeah, that's what he... There are no cops in this movie other than the ones being punched in the face by Two-Face.
That is a great point. There are no cops in this movie. Yeah. There's zero.
Well, if there were cops, there weren't really much of a need for Batman.
But there are cops.
But there are cops. This is a city. He can't stop every crime.
He can't debrief.
Well, there's
people.
Even that line on the
he
news when
them
they're
off a building. Then you can debrief them.
There's even that line when they're watching news reports talking about that crime spree, and the anchor closes with, "And there's still no sign of Batman." So obviously that is a problem.
They're on the roof at one point because Two-Face and the Riddler have taken over the city, and Pat Hinkle just, "Oh, turn off the bat signal. He's not coming." Not call the police. Call the SWAT team. Oh boy, I guess tonight it's just the night of the Riddler. Like, there's nothing.
He says it in the same tone of voice too. That's like, "I guess there won't be any Christmas for all the little boys and girls."
That's what it is. And then Batman shows up and he's like, "Hooray, go, go, I'm going to bed." Like,
doesn't Harvey Dent have a background with the police?
He was the district attorney.
He was the district attorney, so
that's actually a pretty important plot point.
Well, all the cops were still stuck in the underground tunnels chasing Bane, all of them at the same time.
So long.
As a side note, the show on GNN Gotham News Network, the creation of Two-Face, in which the mobster throws the vial of acid in Harvey Dent's face, and he puts the folder in front of half of his face. Okay.
Yep.
A lot of acid. It's an acid trip, this whole movie. But Batman tries to save the day by literally, as Batman, jumping out of the crowd in the courthouse. So you have a picture of a guy sitting next to Batman in the courtroom looking over like, "Are you Batman?" He goes, "Shh, I'm invisible." And then he throws the vial and he's like, "No!" It's the most you. But they show the scene. Val Kilmer had to dress up as Batman in the bat suit and jump into a courtroom.
So long as we're talking about things that make absolutely no sense, here's something I didn't get. Because they've completely changed the Riddler from the movie. Okay, that's fine. Scott was right. You can do that. Why is he sending riddles? Like, what's the deal? What was the point of them?
He was baiting Batman. All of them together spelled out his name.
I know.
I get that.
I get that, but why?
The bottom of the card.
Exactly.
But the Riddler doesn't really hide his identity, though. He doesn't have a costume that hides his identity.
His face is visible the whole time.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It doesn't really matter in the end who he was.
It doesn't.
That he was this.
Doesn't help find him.
It doesn't cause his stock value to drop.
Well, actually, they kind of dropped the point about the fact that he's a millionaire businessman pretty quickly after they announced
and
it.
And the fact that, like, Ghostbuster 2-style Ecto Green is coming out of everyone's house in the city. And I wonder if that's something we're only supposed to see, or if I was walking on the street and looking up and wondering, gee, what are those green clouds in the sky?
Why, those are TV waves, Jimmy. Yeah.
You go to Gotham City and
gee, thanks, Mr. Kent.
You go to Gotham City and you get an epileptic fit because all the green flashing light.
It is, but there. And the worst part about this is there's two narrative characters. There's Nicole Kidman, who is completely in love with the Batman character, and then there's Jim Carrey skipping along, telling everyone what's happening to himself.
Yep.
So no one else has a damn thing to say. It's useless, and to the point where Tommy Lee Jones, a American marvel of film, is just, he's gritting, and he's, like, it's idiotic. Drew Barrymore has more lines the second act of the movie than he does.
Yep. Drew Barrymore's in this movie. Did we say that yet?
And so, what's the other one?
Doesn't matter.
Her and some
Debbie
goth Mazar. Chick, and they
Debbie
were Sugar
Mazar,
and
yeah.
Spice.
Mazar. Sugar and Spice, and that means Two-Face is everything nice, right?
No.
Sugar. Spice. These were the ingredients.
Professor.
Sorry. Can we go watch Powerpuff Girls now? At least
you know what?
Happy.
That would make me happy.
That would make me happy.
The City of Pounds.
Riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big black bat?
Like, good read.
Jesus,
good
read.
Just like, well done.
That was it. That was the best part of the movie. Him? Now, when he's not making jokes, when he gets those lines, that was strong.
Yeah.
But then he gets to talk to himself. Because you know what it was? They just kept running out of film. And they just kept letting him go. Oh, we have to get more film canisters. We got to let Jim just go with it. I think we're about out of time. We've about out of things.
I'm just picturing Joel Schumacher being like James Gum. It's like going, Jim says the jokes or else he gets the hose again.
Yeah, that's it.
Creepy.
So I think we're just about out of time here. Let's just go around the table and would you recommend this? Because I can't think of anything else worth saying. Let's start with Matt. Matt, what do you think?
The first half was entertaining. The second half got real slow, so I'm saying no.
Fair enough. Aaron?
No, just check out the soundtrack. Just give the film and check out the soundtrack.
Daniel.
Val Kilmer actually made a pretty cool Batman. I think he was underrated, but overall, this thing was just poorly written and ugly to look at, and just wow, it was a lot worse than I remember it being. So no, do not watch it.
Fair enough. Scott, your defense.
I mean, I kind of echo everything Daniel just said. Even ugly to look at, and we found out this movie was Oscar nominated for cinematography. Yeah. So put those things in your head and figure that one out. But it is much worse than I thought. It's really not very fun, which Batman movies should be. I mean, even The Dark Knight's kind of fun. It's dark as shit, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it's just not. It's not fun. It's slow and kind of boring and makes you angry. So, no, I'd say skip it. Go watch the animated series, any of the animated movies. Go watch the first two. Go watch the first two Chris Nolan movies. Go watch Ace Ventura.
Yeah. Or The Mask.
Yeah, or The Mask. Mask would be a little bit...
A comic book movie, too. You know what? I'm going to pile off of Scott here a little bit. I think at the end of the next movie, we should rank the Batman movies. So I think it's a little premature here, but...
It's pretty safe to know where Batman and Robin's going to land.
But, I mean, including... What about Dark Knight Rises 2 and all that? Mask of the Phantasm? I mean, ooh, there's a lot of Batman movies we could talk about, but I think there's some good stuff here. If you could... We'll talk about Star Wars, I'm sure, a lot, but the original... The new trilogy, people have edited it down to make it, like, one good two-hour movie. You could take 30 minutes out of this movie and make it much more solid. Take out a lot of the Chase Meridian crap. Frankly, unfortunately, take out a lot of the Tommy Lee Jones stuff and make a good 90-minute movie. But at 2 hours, this is almost unwatchable because after the first act, it stops dead. It feels so slow. And then by the time we get to the big finale, it feels like it doesn't deserve a finale. It feels like the movie should have ended 3 or 4 times by now, and whatever plot they were getting at is useless. And that's a real shame because we still have one more to watch, and that's supposed to be the worst of the quadrilogy. So, with that eminent doom as we wind up our November series month, I'm Nick Hoffman for Myopia Defend Your Childhood, and I hope you tune in next time as a little bit more of your past gets put on trial. Thank you very much.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is brought to you by DudeLetter.com. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman and produced by Ann Burns. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by The Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on DudeLetter.com. Questions or comments, please visit myopia.dudeletter.com or contact us through myopia@dudeletter.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @MyopiaPodcast and @DudeLetter, and find us on Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. Please, it's the only thing that strokes Nick's ego. Tonight's episode is also sponsored by the Schumacher Institute for the Study of Codpieces and the new Val Kilmer line of black tactile neck sweaters. Tune in next week when we'll put another little piece of your past on trial. There is so much a man can tell you, so much he can say. You remain my power, my place.